Welcome to the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Now enjoy the show. All right, guys, I want to tell you a little bit about Type 1 Lifting. So Type 1 Lifting is a clothing brand that proceeds of the shirts, the hats, and everything else go to the Children's Diabetes Foundation. This whole t-shirt company started from me taking care of a five-year-old girl from the emergency department at the Children's Hospital I worked at in Atlanta for a while back. I thought I needed to do a little bit more than kind of just talk about my story. So this is how I started the clothing line, because I wanted to show people that even though diabetics have this really bad disease, we can still do amazing things in our life, and diabetes won't stop, you know, stop us reaching our goals. So go check out type1lifting.com. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can always reach me out on Instagram. It's type1lifting, and hope you guys enjoy the show. Hey guys, we have a new sponsor for the Type 1 Lifting podcast. The company's called Liberté Lifestyle. So Liberté is a French word meaning freedom, and the company was founded on the desire to have freedom to choose what we want to do with our lives. I actually had the owner, Nicole, on my podcast on episode 28, so if you want to go back and listen to her, she talks about how she started the company and what she wants to do in the future with the company, which is pretty cool. So they actually have knee sleeves, wrist wraps, shirts, shorts. Love the knee sleeves. I have the ice cream knee sleeves and I love them so much. They haven't, the neoprene's still good. The seams haven't split compared to other knee sleeves that I have had in the past. And I'm planning to keep these for a very, very long time. So Nicole actually gave me a promo code for you guys too. So it's all capital letters, T-Y-P-E and the number one. So it's type one. So go to libertelifestyle.com, check out what they have in the store, use the promo code type one and save some coin. Now let's go to the episode. All right, guys, welcome to a new episode of the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. I actually found this guest watching Wodapalooza because I've always wanted to go. I've always said it's like on my bucket list, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet. But he is the host of the Wex Appeal podcast, Stephen Wexler. How's it going, man?
It's going good, man. Going great. How are you doing?
Good, good. So when I was watching, I think it was on a podcast or something like that, like you had Rich Froning on, and then I heard you were like a DJ at, you know, Wodapalooza, but I'm like, oh, that's so sick. Like, this is I don't want to go to the CrossFit Games. Like, I really don't care. I'd rather go to Wodapalooza because I think you get like more of like an interaction with like all the athletes and like the fans and stuff like that. But, I'm praying for next year to go. But before any of those questions, I like talking to dads.
Yeah.
And so I know you have a couple kids.
Oh, a couple.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have four.
Yes.
Two girls, two boys. So my two oldest are girls. They're 14 and 9. Actually just about to turn 10. And then my two youngest are two boys and they are 6 and 3.
Nice.
Yes. No, I'm sorry. 6 and 2. So 14, 9, 6 and 2.
That's a good distance separated from each other. So
yeah, it's enough room where you just think you're in the freedom zone and then boom, there's another one.
Yeah, exactly. I have a boy and a girl, 7 and a 4-year-old. So, okay. I always like talking
about
the
same spread.
Yeah, pretty much. So I was like talking to dads about like, you know, when the firstborn came about, like, you know, what was going through your head when, like, you know, that child was like in your hands, you're holding it. Like, what was going through your head?
What are we doing? Like, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, at some point, because it kind of goes along with everything that I'm doing. So my wife has, she's had a lot of medical issues. So when we actually had her first child, we were told she would never have kids. You know, she had polycystic ovary disease, a laundry list of other things, but basically they told her she'll never get pregnant. She'll never have a baby or anything like that. And we'll never be parents. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you're given that diagnosis, it's not one of those things where, you know, we weren't trying to have a kid, but we weren't not trying to have a kid, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So when we found out we were pregnant, it was a complete surprise, complete shock. When they handed us, you know, we both cried in the delivery room when Halen came, our oldest, and it was a beautiful moment. And seems like clockwork every, you know, 3.5 to 4 years, there'd be another kid. So I'm like, apparently that doctor was completely wrong. And, you know, so there's a lot of health things that go with that. But I mean, we really did look at it as a blessing, but also as just like, whew, we don't know what we're doing. And it's funny because each kid is so different from each other. Like none of them are the same. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you kind of go through this thing of, okay, the first one, you know, you see the memes where they talk about the first one, you're so careful with everything and you're like, disinfect everything and wipe this down and everything has to be sterile. By the fourth kid, you're like, wipe it off, pick it up, brush the dirt off of it, stick it back in their mouth.
Yeah. You're literally handing the kid over to like the guy that changes the oil with like the oily hands. Like, here, can you hold them? I gotta grab something on my phone real quick.
Yeah. I'm getting a call. Here, you take this.
So is four, that's it, no more, or?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And again, going into the, you know, kind of the medical thing, we actually, so we had our two girls, mm-hmm. and in between our youngest girl and oldest boy, we actually lost two, through miscarriage because of everything that was going on with her health wise. And then we had the third one and it was our boy. We were like, okay, cool. We're good. We're done. Mm-hmm. Apparently we weren't, because there was a change in medication. You know, I mean, you've been in the medical field, you know, one medication counteracts another medication and mm-hmm. oof, she's pregnant again. But because of the polycystic ovary disease and some things that she has been encountering, she actually just about two years ago, 1.5, 2 years ago, she had a full hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if it went unchecked, she would have cancer.
Yep.
That being said, also, she has the BRCA2 gene, or had the BRCA, I'm going to say had the BRCA2 gene, which, if you know anything about that, and for anybody listening that doesn't know what that is, the BRCA2 gene is the gene that causes breast cancer. And it's not an if you're going to get cancer, it's a when. So just over, I think tomorrow will be 6 weeks, she had a double mastectomy and reconstruction. So I mean, she's a champ. She, you know, 4 weeks post-op and she went to Wadapalooza and was down there with us. And it was all preventative, you know, so she didn't have breast cancer. She didn't, you know, thankfully we didn't have to fight that fight, but the preventative side of it is, you know, what preventative steps do you take? You remove the tissue that's going to cause cancer. Mm-hmm. And that was the course of action. So she decided to go on the offensive, like, you know, all of us should be doing when it comes to our health. Went on the offensive, went ahead and had the surgery and the reconstruction. And it's not easy. It's definitely not been an easy 6 weeks, but I've got so much respect for her and everything that she's going through to, you know, at the same time, we have four kids who don't understand mommy can't pick you up or, do the things that she would normally do with you right now.
Yeah.
Until she heals and gets back in the gym and, you know, starts being able to recover, you know, the way we know how. Get in the gym, get fit, you know, strengthen your body and you know, live a long and healthy life because of it.
Yeah. So when that scare came in, like what was going through your mind through that whole process? Because obviously, like, breast cancer is like a serious thing, because I've had relatives that had like breast cancer and like one of them didn't make it and the other one did. Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of like a scary, and I'm not a female, so, and I don't identify as one, but like, but you know, I can't imagine like how, you know, alone they feel with that whole prognosis, you know, what was going through her mind?
So it's a little bit different because, this is kind of one of those things where we say we're very blessed in the way that this all came about. Mm-hmm. And again, this is, you know, obviously not for us because we're a couple of guys, you know, but for women, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what the BRCA2 gene is, it's worth getting checked out. And the only reason that she knew that she had it, she would go to her doctors and get checked up. She'd, you know, get her mammograms and things like that. You know, all the normal things that you do to maintain your health. But genetic testing is not routine. Mm-hmm. We'll call it that. It's not routine. So she actually was given for Christmas a few years ago, a 23andMe DNA test.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Of all the things. And she, at the time, she was like, well, it was given to her by her mom. And she's like, well, this is a pretty crappy gift. You know, but at the time, you know, so she did it, mailed it in, whatever, you know, she's like, okay, I'll be able to find out what my ancestry is and, you know, what genealogy I'm from, or, you know, what I have in my blood, you know. My grandparents have always told us we had part Indian in us, you know, things, just stuff like that, you know, all the stuff you normally see. But she has absolutely zero contact with her father. Her mom had her when she was 16. Mm-hmm. That side of the family is non-existent to us. They basically are, you know, we don't know them. We've never talked to them, any of that. So when she did the DNA test, what it actually does is it matches you up with people that you have matches with. So somebody from that side of the family had matches or had done a 23andMe and they were matched up. And she got a, I don't know if it was a phone call or an email or whatever. Somebody reached out from that side of the family, from her father, like I think it might have been her father's sister. So like her aunt on that side of the family, who we have again no contact with, reached out and said, hey, you know, I know you don't know us. You don't talk to us or anything like that. You've got no reason to talk to us, and we're cool with it. We totally understand. But just something you should know, breast cancer runs in our family. And like, I think he had like three or four sisters. I don't know the exact numbers, but like all of them had developed breast cancer. And
wow.
like I think all but one of them had died from it. And it was all because of the BRCA2 gene. And, you know, they knew all about it. So they, you know, let her know. She's like, you do with it as you wish, but we thought we should let you know. And that saved her life.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is. It's crazy to think that, because just this little DNA test, and, you know, somebody sent over an email, and then she went to her doctor and was like, hey, I got this information. Would you run this test? And they were like, okay, we'll go. We wouldn't normally, but because you're requesting it, we'll go ahead and run it. And they ran it, and it came back positive that she had the gene. So I would say that it's different than somebody who's diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Because that is a whole different, that's a whole different ball game. You're dealing with treatments. My father died of cancer. I've seen it firsthand what cancer does to people, and it's awful. It's horrible. And to me, the treatments are almost worse than the disease itself. Mm-hmm. Because of what it does to the body. So for her to get the basically, I don't want to say premonition, but for her to get the knowledge that, hey, this is something that could be coming and we could fix it without you having to go through radiation and chemotherapy and all these things on the backside of it. Why don't we attack it from the front side and you only have to deal with the surgery portion? Mm-hmm. So I think that's been easier. Now, again, like you said, I'm a guy. I don't know what that, you know, what that feels like when, you know, that surgery, you know, when she does that surgery. But they did a double mastectomy. So they did a lift first, they did a double mastectomy, and then they actually took out tissue from her stomach to put into her breast. So it was all a natural, you know, it's all natural.
Yep.
Surgery. The doctors are miracle workers, you know, and you would look at her and not think anything was wrong or anything. They've done a great job. She's still healing, obviously, and things like that, but just incredible. Just, you know, kind of the whole thing. And we've had some amazing support systems. You know, obviously, you know, all about the gym community, you know, CrossFit as a whole, they just rally around you. We've had, you know, friends from, you know, she does a Bible study. So friends from there, you know, did a meal train. We had way too much food while my wife was out of surgery. We had way too much food in the house. We had like people dropping off food every other night. We had to do it every other night because they were just dropping off so much food every night that we.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
But between the CrossFit community, Battle Cancer, Scott Britton from Battle Cancer has just been, the guy is just phenomenal, just a phenomenal human being. And, he, you know, he's been reaching out and been like, hey, is there anything you guys need? Is there anything I can help with, you know, as far as like information or training or things like that, that can help her, you know, I know she didn't have cancer, but it's the same surgery.
Yeah.
You know, the double mastectomy and things like that. So what can we do to help and get her strong and things like that? And got to see him at Wodapalooza, and, you know, he got to, you know, talk to Lisa for a bit. I've had doctors, physical therapists reach out to us and, you know, offer their help and services, be like, listen, if you need anything at all, even while we were at Wodapalooza, they're like, you know, cause she had to change her bandages and things like that. And they're like, if you need anything, just call me. I'll be right over and we'll help you out. And it was just incredible. We've had a great, great support system. So, you know, that feeling of alone, you know, I guess, you know, when you're truly alone in your room by yourself is like really the only time we felt it.
Yeah.
You know, every other time we were just surrounded with love, and it's just been amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So speaking about CrossFit, so you do CrossFit. So how did you get involved with CrossFit?
Yeah. So I actually realized today, because I had to do a video for Make Watts Great Again, and they're doing open videos, that this year will be my 9th year doing the open.
Okay. Very cool.
So I've been doing CrossFit for probably, I think I started right before the open, you know, when I originally started. And you alluded to the fact that I'm a DJ. So I am a DJ. I actually didn't DJ at Wodapalooza, but you know, I did the podcast stuff for them. But DJing was my very first job. When I was a 15-year-old kid, I went and worked at the skating rink, and I was the only kid that didn't know how to skate. So they threw me in a DJ booth. Here, push buttons, play music. And I started to learn and love music, and kind of, I've always loved music, but you know, kind of how to mix and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, I actually, you know, went from the skating rink to actually working in nightclubs. And I was, you know, a DJ in nightclubs. And then from there, I met other people that did events. So I'd go and do weddings and parties. And then I started doing sporting events. So I'd do 5Ks and mud runs and DJ all those things. And I really got into running. And I've always been a bigger guy. So, you know, running kind of helped. Like at one point I was up to about 280 pounds. I was very, very out of shape. I was in horrible health. And so I started running, lost a good amount of weight, but you know, no tone or anything like that. It's just, you know, I lost some weight, which was great. I hate running. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
As a big guy, you don't like running. It's just, it's hard on the joints. It hurts. It takes forever, especially if you're going to run like a half marathon or things like that. But I was actually at a running store, and there was a 5K that was going on, and I was in this running store, and one of the coaches for a local gym here in town called CrossFit Zoo was there as well, kind of coordinating with this 5K. They were doing, you know, they were like setting up a tent at the race, and they were, you know, promoting CrossFit Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I DJ'd that 5K. You know, they were there, and they came up to me and they're like, "Hey, we've got a CrossFit competition coming up in like a month or two. Would you be willing to DJ it?" I'm like, "Sure." And they go, "You know, well, here's what we'll do. You know, we're not making that much money on it, so we will give you like a month or 2 months free at the gym for you to DJ this event."
Nice.
And I'm like, "All right." You know, I'd heard the horror stories about, you know, CrossFit's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they're just flipping tires and wrecking backs and, you know, breaking shoulders and all that sort of thing. But, you know, so at first I literally was standing outside just kind of looking through the big, you know, roll up door, because the best CrossFits are at warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm peeking in through the door and just kind of checking things out. And I'm like, you know, you can come in. And I started working out, doing the basic stuff, and just fell in love with it. Did the open, didn't know what I was doing, you know, had, you know, scaling everything to where now I went and got my level one. I've since lost my level one. If you listen to the Rich Pony episode, I let it lapse this past year. So in June, I needed to renew it, and had a lot of stuff going on, and I couldn't. But I was a coach for 5 years. I was the head coach at CrossFit Zoo for that time, and just fell in love with it. fell in love with the diversity, fell in love with the fact that it was never the same thing when you walked in the doors. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, okay, Mondays are, you know, back and tries or, you know,
bro splits.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and every once in a while you'd get a bro sesh where you go in and actually like bench press something, you know, mm-hmm. which we never do in CrossFit, but all these little things that were just so different and kept it new and kept it fresh that I just fell in love with the methodology. And then in turn fell in love with the sport, mm-hmm. started watching the CrossFit Games. And I'm like, oh man, this is amazing. Started volunteering at the CrossFit Games in 2018. And I've been every year since, except for 2020 when, you know, they had the lockout, the COVID year.
Yep.
And volunteered there every single year since then and just loved the sport of it and started following along. And in 2020, you know, just kind of led me to, you know, I'm sitting at my house and I'm like, hey, podcasts are cool.
Yeah, very cool. So wait,
let's try this.
Yeah. So you said you're a coach. So obviously, like, I've talked to many of coaches throughout podcasting. So what's your style of coaching, and like, how do you get your clients to buy into like what you're programming?
So there's one thing that sticks out to me. I've said this on podcast before, but there's one thing that stuck out to me, and really seeing people make those changes and make those gains is the best feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. It literally is like seeing your children achieve something that, you know, they've never been able to do before. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. And you get to cheer with them. And that goes right in with the open, you know, like if you're listening, sign up for the open, like do it. games.crossfit.com, go sign up right now. that's the plug, that's the ad. But you know, watching people succeed, I remembered how I felt when I got my first chest to bar, and it was amazing. It was an amazing feeling when I finally got my first chest to bar, first pull up, first time I was able to clean over 200 pounds, like mm-hmm. all these little milestones. I remembered how those felt, and getting people to those milestones is incredible. I like that. I love that feeling. But one of the things that stuck with me the most when I was coaching is I had an athlete, and he was a runner, but he was an older gentleman. I think he was in his 50s, never done any Olympic weightlifting or anything like that before at all in his life. And the day we were doing snatches, and for anybody, snatches are a fairly intricate lift. If things don't go right, my coach bailed on a 185 today. And I mean, he can snatch close to 300, but he bailed on a 185. And I was like, how dare you? how dare you fail on a 185? He's like, I went back and looked at the video. I was just lazy. Like I just got lazy and mm-hmm. just completely biffed it. So even for somebody who's a very, very good lifter, you're going to bail on those lifts. He was not a good lifter. His snatch looked horrible. It looked awful. There were probably 10 things that I could pick apart if I was taking that one lift and being like, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. And he knew it. He wasn't fooling himself and thinking that his lift looked perfect. He would do the lift and immediately drop the bar and be like, oh, that was awful. And I'm like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to do one thing. Just one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it was open up the hip. I think it was like just a hip hop or something. It was something very, very small.
Yeah.
And he did it. And he did it perfectly. The lift still looked like shit. but he did the one thing.
Yeah.
And he did it. He did exactly what I asked him to do. And he was still frustrated. And I told him, I'm like, listen, I can't fix all of it right now. But if we fix the one thing, then I can work on two. Then I can work on three.
Yep.
But what I asked you to do, you did perfectly. So when I say perfect, I don't mean the lift was perfect. I mean what you were doing that I asked you to do was perfect. And now we can move to the next step. Mm-hmm. And to see the look of realization on his eyes, this 50-year-old dude. I mean, he easily 20 years older than me, has a wealth of knowledge further than what I have in life experience and things like that. But just to see the light in his eye just kind of come back and be like, oh, okay, you know what? I can do this if I just focus on one thing and not focus on the final picture. Mm-hmm. Everybody's so quick to go from A to Z. There's 24 other letters in the middle that you got to you got to knock out before you get to Z. You know, and that was really the thing that I enjoyed the most is just putting things together, building blocks. Okay, we're not gonna be perfect, but and one of the things I always preach is, you know, we're not looking to be 100%. We're just looking to be 1% better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So every day, just be 1% better.
Yep.
And if you miss, you only got to make up 1%. You know, small changes to make big effort. You know, to make these big sweeping changes. And that was the biggest thing for me with coaching is focusing on those little things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what little thing can I do right here to make mountains of difference later? And that was, I mean, that was really kind of, that's my coaching style. That's how I like to encourage and do. And it transfers over to everything. I coach my kids' t-ball team. I coach my daughter in CrossFit, you know, and all these little things. So like every little step, every little thing is, okay, let's just get 1% better.
Yep. Totally agree. And then we'll work from there. Yep. Totally agree. So when people see me lift, they're telling me like, wow, like you lift pretty heavy. And so I'm like, yeah, it took me 12 years of doing CrossFit and Olympic weightlifting, watching YouTube videos, you know, watching videos of myself do stuff and like all this, like just constantly like picking and see where, like what I did wrong and whatnot. And then like finally got a pair of lifters and, you know, cause you get the heel up a little bit and it's just like, it took me that long to get it. So don't expect you're going to be able to like lift like 135 immediately. Just start with the bar.
Absolutely.
Start with a PVC pipe and just like, and I even tell people, I'm like, if you're doing the same workout I'm doing, but you're just doing with the bar, you're still going to get the same stimulus that I'm getting in the workout. So it doesn't matter what weight you're picking it. You're still going to get the same thing. So.
Well, and that's the coolest thing about CrossFit is I know exactly what it feels like to do exactly what the athletes that are on the games floor are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're doing it faster. Yes, they're doing it heavier, but they feel the same. And I'm going to get murdered on this because somebody quoted it. I can see him. I can see him. He's a level one, or he's seminar staff.
It's not Hobart.
It is Hobart. It is James Hobart. And now I can't remember what the quote was.
Was it on one of the latest posts on like Morning Chalk or something like that?
Yeah.
I saw it. I forgot what it was. Dang it.
Yeah. Same. But just like, is that CrossFit never gets easier.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It never gets easier. You just get fitter.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pushing this can down the road. Okay, I'm going to feel just as horrible starting CrossFit as I will 10 years down the road. It's just going to be faster. It's going to be heavier. It's going to be more efficient. And I'm going to get more out of it, you know, but the evolution is the same. You're constantly, you know, driving yourself into the ground on certain things, whether it's 135, 235 or whatever. And it's funny because I was actually talking to Fraser, at Wadapalooza, and he was talking about golf and how, you know, he thought he would never play and he started playing golf and he never found the allure to it. And then he had this swing and it was just like hit the ball just perfect, drove it straight down. He's like, it felt like I hit that thing 500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it was probably like 150, you know, but it just felt perfect. He's like, and then Scott Stallings walks up and just smashes the ball and makes my look. He's like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. I'm like, exactly, Matt. That's exactly how we feel when we walk in a gym that you're at and you're over there smashing 350, you know, on a clean and jerk. And we're over here with the 135 just trying to stay alive.
Yep. Yeah. So, like got it overhead. Like, help me. Did anybody see this? And just drop it.
Somebody get it on video, please. Quick. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, my son's kind of getting into golf. Granted, like Georgia weather right now is a little bit cold, so we haven't gone out yet. But man, like I feel so stiff when I, because I don't golf. Like I don't care. Like, I mean, I'll drive the ball like at the driving range and like, that's it. Like, I don't care hitting 19 rounds of golf. There's like no interest in me whatsoever. But like my son started getting into it. So like him and I are working on it. So like he's getting like teaching lessons and I'm trying to teach him how to swing and, you know, he's getting into all these other sports too. So it's like kind of teaching him as well how to do some of the stuff. And it's, yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, but I think my back's so stiff because I'm so damn old that like, just, I literally need 15 minutes to warm up just to get the back going.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing with sports is that, you know, like my daughter, my oldest daughter rides horses. So she's into horses and that sort of thing. She has no interest in any other physical activity.
Big money.
I know. But I take that back. She's also playing volleyball. So she just started playing volleyball. I'm super stoked about that. My 9-year-old has been doing CrossFit since she was 4. And she's a little monster. If you've seen anything that I posted with her, she is in the gym deadlifting 125 pounds. Clean and jerking, you know, 55 to 60 pounds. Like she's legitimately wants to go to the CrossFit Games, and she went to the Wodapalooza and it was like Disney World for her.
Yep.
I mean, she was running around meeting everybody and just and loving life. And then but she also does competitive gymnastics and she just finished playing baseball. And then my 6-year-old plays baseball. He's starting to get into CrossFit. And then my 2-year-old, we're just trying to keep him alive because he's a savage.
Yeah. So how do you, especially with like CrossFit, cause like with my son, he was like swinging like a 3-pound kettlebell at like five years old, like not even younger than that. But like we would do this thing called Next Station where we do like like 20 seconds of like working out and then 10 seconds to kind of switch to a next station to kind of do something. And then, you know, I never pushed him to do anything that he didn't want to do. And so like, if he said he was done, he was done. So is that kind of what you do with your kids too, when they're doing CrossFit, they're like, okay, like, I don't want to do this anymore. And you're like, oh, yeah, perfectly fine. That's okay. Just go in the corner over here and just like hang out.
Yes. To an extent. My 9-year-old now, no, she doesn't get that because she has a goal. She's driven. She wants to do certain things. So for her to do certain things, she has to finish certain things. The rule in our house is once you start something, you have to finish it.
True.
Yep. So if you start a season of baseball or soccer or volleyball or whatever it is, you have to finish the season. You made a commitment. That's a number one. You have to finish that. Now that doesn't relate over to CrossFit and individual workouts with the kids. So Stella started coming to the gym with me as a coach and she just was watching. And then she would be in the corner and she'd want to do something. So she would mimic whatever the workout was. Okay, so it has 10 burpees and they only do 3 and they move on to the next thing. Okay, fine, cool. You're working, you're moving. You're not obviously trying to cheat, you know, you're just trying to mimic what you see.
Yeah.
And then as weight started getting added to it, then it's like, okay, so you're mimicking what you see, but now we need to make sure that you're doing it safely. You know, so like Stella started when she was 4 years old and she was very good at mimicking the workouts. In fact, I've got video of her doing the CrossFit Open at 4 years old, doing burpees over bar. And I think it was like ball slams or something like that. But she was doing, you know, she was doing the work exactly how it was supposed to be done because she was very good at mimicking it. My son, on the other hand, he just turned 6 and he's just now starting kids classes because his attention wouldn't allow him to focus. So going into classes and things like that, I couldn't train other people. I couldn't train with him on the floor because he would just be a liability at that point, to himself and to other athletes. So for him, I had to back him way back and be like, no, you can't come and do the class. You can't come and do this. If we're doing something at home, I'll let you play around. And again, if he was done, he was done. You know, I didn't hold him to any kind of standard with that. Just, hey, this is the movement. This is what you're going to do. Make sure if you're going to do a burpee, make sure your chest touches the ground. Make sure you jump and clap above your head. You know, little cues and things like that. But, you know, but Stella, on the other hand, just, she's, I can't explain the fact that she is just kind of a savant when it comes to these movements and things. So much so that the gym I'm at now, I'm just an athlete. And, you know, when I moved over there, I was really the only one there with a kid that actually did CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the coach and I'm like, hey, do you mind if she works out, you know, in the class and things? And he's like, I'll watch her and kind of see, but you're going to be in charge of her. I'm like, that's fine. Because I knew what her level of focus was. And now, like, he coaches her just like an adult, if not harder than adults, because he also sees what she's doing and what she's capable of. And he made the comment the other day. He's like, honestly, I wish I had a room full of her, because she moves better than half of the athletes in this gym.
Yep.
You know, just in her, you know, like the cleanliness of movement, like the technicality, like everything. She's on point every time she does it. And I mean, for a dad, it's really super annoying when your kid walks in and learns something brand new right out every class. This week alone, in a matter of 2 weeks, she went from doing handstand pushups with a mat underneath her to doing handstand pushups on a plate. So basically even ground, which is what we, you know, consider RX at our gym.
Mm-hmm.
To in a matter of 2 weeks, going from that to now deficit handstand pushups.
Wow.
She's nine. she was doing 4-inch deficit handstand pushups the other day after never trying them, just kicked up and did two. I'm like, this is just stupid. and then in the middle of the workout the other day, she was like, oh, I'm going to try dubs. And, you know, she had done it, you know, here and there, and she'd get one or, you know, one or two or things like that. Middle of the workout, she just rips off five or six of them, just like, boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, ripped off another like 10. And I'm like, where is this coming from? This kid just has ridiculous awareness.
Yep.
And is able to pick these things up very easily. So she, like I said, each kid is different. My 14-year-old has zero mm-hmm. interest at doing CrossFit.
And which is okay. Perfectly
which
fine.
Which is fine. Perfectly yeah. fine. Because I won't force them to do anything that they don't want to do. And that's always been the rule. If you don't want to go to the gym, fine. You don't want to go to the gym. However, again, with Stella, the 9-year-old, now we're at a point where it's like, okay, you have things that you want to achieve. So now it's not okay for you to just say, oh, I don't want to do it today.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to achieve these goals, you have to go and you have to do the work and you have to put in the time, because she wants to go to the CrossFit Games. She has said it. That's her goal. That's what she wants to do. She wants to go as a team and she wants to go compete in the individual division when she gets older. You know, so her going to Wodapalooza this week just completely lit a new fire.
That's awesome.
You know, and she has, I maintain an Instagram page for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she has an Instagram page that she's allowed to look at, but she's not allowed to get on because it's social media and I won't do that to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it so that in the event that she does get sponsors or things like that, we can use that to, you know, to kind of build her brand if she does decide. And, you know, we're looking at, she's going to turn 10 in March. She could be at the games in as little as 4 years. Because, you know, the 14 to 15-year-old division. And that's mm-hmm. kind of something she set her sights on. That's something she wants to do. So we're building that brand. Let's do this. And I mean, her Instagram page is like a who's who of CrossFit athletes now, from Wodapalooza. She's got comments from all the elite, you know, CrossFit athletes on her page.
That's awesome.
Like, you know, just like, it was great to meet you. It was so awesome to meet you and things like that. And I'm like, this is insane. Like Danny Spiegel is calling her out by name mm-hmm. and was like, you know, you're Stella, you're the Stella. I know you from Instagram. So it's like kind of out of body experience for her. So she got to, you know, kind of check off a whole bunch of bucket list
Nice.
Things at Wodapalooza this past week. So it was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Very cool. Now, I want to, since you're a podcaster, and obviously I kind of want to talk the talk with you. So how did you even start your podcast? Like what made you get into this realm?
So yeah, that the $1 million question. So I think COVID got everybody a little bit stir crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been a sales rep driving on the road for a couple of years before that. And listening to podcasts, and I think, you know, we alluded to it, you know, earlier that, you know, everybody listens to Joe Rogan because that's the godfather of all podcasts. But, you know, I'd listen to Joe Rogan. I'd listen to Talking Elite Fitness. I'd listen to things that I'm passionate about, history and all these things. But I'd keep coming back to, you know, shows like Joe Rogan because it was just conversations. It was just people talking. It was interesting conversations with people that I found were interesting, and some of them more so than others. You know, some of the conversations I was like, meh, you know, whatever. But I found it interesting. So I was like, it would be awesome to have a podcast one day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to interview famous people and, you know, and just kind of do everything. My podcast is really what I would consider CrossFit adjacent. If you listen to it anytime in the past, you know, a few months, you'd probably be like, no, it's completely a CrossFit podcast. but it's CrossFit adjacent because I don't just interview CrossFit people. But it started, I had a buddy of mine that did one, and he launched it on Anchor. And I was like, so I called him. I was like, dude, this is cool. You made a podcast. How did you do this? He's like, literally with my phone sitting in my closet.
Oh, stupid easy. I could tell you what I started with. It was insane. Insane. Yeah.
Literally my, I bought a microphone and didn't realize until like 6 episodes that it wasn't actually capturing anything. It was just the audio from my phone picking up. It's just like the first 6 to 7 episodes are just my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was talking into a microphone thinking it was actually working, but it wasn't, which is fun. But he started this podcast and he was just talking about his training and talking about, you know, things that he did. And I've run into him at local competitions and things like that. We're friends. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, how did you do this? And he told me, and I was like, that is ridiculously easy.
Mm-hmm. I started with the Anchor app and it's so easy.
So, you know, I still use Anchor. I'm like, it's just easy. It's just fun and easy. You can do all sorts of stuff with it. So I started, you know, the first, I think 6 episodes was just me talking. Mm-hmm. I'd have a couple of my buddies come on and we'd, you know, talk a whole bunch of shit about whatever. And, you know, my very first episode is called Danny Spiegel is Trying to Kill Me. because I bought her 30-day abs like training program. Mm-hmm. And thought I was going to die. Like it was that bad. I mean, it's a great program. It, you know, don't get me wrong. It's a fantastic program, but it's tough. So, you know, so I was just talking and then I reached out to a few people. And one of those people was Margo Alvarez. Reached out to her. I'd watched her on the Titan Games, obviously CrossFit Games athlete, things mm-hmm. like that. You know, so Titan Games, CrossFit, I like all those things. Okay, cool. Let's talk. And she has a wine company. How cool is that? So I messaged her on Instagram and to my surprise, she responded. I was like, yeah, I'd love to. So we talked about it. And before she, you know, we scheduled the episode before that episode aired, I ordered her wine. So I had her wine like there so I could taste it, you know, like we could do a taste test right there on the podcast and talk about it and talk about the stories and of her wine and all that. And I'm like, this is just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
From that point on, I never did this another solo. Well, I take that back. I did a couple solo episodes, but just like offbeat, you know, like music type episodes and things like that. But from then on, I'm like, that's it. I'm only going to do this if I'm interviewing somebody, if I'm talking to somebody, because it's just fun. And went on to interview Sean and Tommy from Talking Elite separately because I wanted to get them separate. Because
those guys are awesome, by the way.
Oh, they're amazing. They're amazing. Yeah. Sean Woodland, punk rock bass player. Like, who knew? And, you know, we dove into that whole realm, and you know, me and Tommy, like, our episode was so long, we had to cut it into two episodes because we did a whole fantasy football draft, like a fantasy football draft. So like everybody was on the board. Hall of Fame players, like, you know, like an all-time fantasy draft. Like, so we just started having these fun conversations and not necessarily centered around CrossFit. And I started reaching out to people, and to my shock, like, again, like people that I have no business whatsoever talking to, were like, sure, I'll come on the show. Yeah, I'll do it. Why not? So like Javier Colon, the very first winner of season one of The Voice, he came on the show. He's a phenomenal human being, like, very just cool. an amazing guy.
Yeah,
but he's a singer, you know. So definitely nothing, you know, CrossFit. I've had people from Broadway. I've had people from like television, the Forged and Fire show.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen that on the History Channel, had one of the judges from that show on there, and just started having these really cool conversations. And it's been a passion project. And there will be, you know, times where I have no episodes for like 3-4 months. And then all of a sudden I'll, you know, get in touch with somebody and they'll come on the show, and then I'll, you know, post a couple episodes. But it was just kind of a here and there. I'll post when I have interviews, and you know, it was just a passion project. It was just something on the side, just that I like to do for fun. And I honestly, I don't know how things happen for a reason, but the past couple of weeks have just been kind of flipped the podcast upside down, in all the best ways possible. I was talking to you a little bit before we started recording, the whole thing with Wodapalooza. I was at Wodapalooza last year. I was just a podcaster. They gave us a stage. It sucked. And I'm not telling you anything Dylan Malitsky wouldn't tell you himself. He wasn't necessarily in charge of it. It was, you know, somebody else was handling it. And it was a small little stage shoved in the food court area. There was no seating. We had a couple of fold-out chairs, a couple of handheld microphones. We had no time slots. We basically just walked up, found a time slot, and then had to run around the venue to try and find somebody to interview. And it wasn't fun. We made it fun with the people that I got to talk to. Like, I got to talk to Grant McCartney, and I got to talk to the Island Ninja from American Ninja Warrior, Buttery Brooks, and all that stuff. But I got to talk to a few people, but it wasn't as good as it could be. There was so much room for improvement. So this year I reached out to Dylan. I've known Dylan for quite some time. I've known him since he was an MC for local competitions. So I reached out to Dylan. I was like, hey man, I would like to be an MC. I would like to, you know, be on the floor announcing heats and, you know, kind of announcing the action and things like that. But I also have this podcast, and last year, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, the podcast stage wasn't that good. Here's like 5 ideas that I want to give you that would help you and your team make it a better situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just gave him some of the ideas that I had on ways to make it better. And he goes, that's awesome. Absolutely. I would love to have you as an MC. Or you can manage the podcast stage, take all the ideas that you have and make them yours and make it happen. But you have to pick one, because you can't do both. It's just not possible. He's like, don't answer me now. Think about it and come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more I thought about it, I'm like, I would love to be an MC. I'd love to be in the middle of the action and on the floor, but man, I could really make this podcast thing pretty amazing if just we give it a little bit of something. We can make it so much better than what it was, and I think it would be beneficial. I think that would be more beneficial to everyone if I do that.
Yeah.
So I reached out to him and I said, hey, you know what? You're right. I'm going to do the podcast stage. I think that's the best bet for me. He's like, I totally want you to MC, but I think you're making a good choice. This is going to be a good place to go. This is 3, 4, or 5 months before Wodapalooza. Started putting my plans into motion, started working with the Wodapalooza team, the Loud and Live team. And, you know, we started putting together a plan. First plan, move the stage, get it somewhere where people want to go, make it a destination, make it something that people want to like carve out time to go and be at.
Yeah.
And we accomplished that. I don't know if you saw any of the pictures, but
they looked amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
So it was set right next to Bayside, right there on the bay, right where all the athletes were swimming. In between these palm trees, you had a stage, you had this big LED screen behind the stage. You know, for those of you who weren't there and, you know, or just listening. And then they had a whole bunch of couches and chairs, like couches, like, and like sofa type couches, like lounge chairs, just all in the grassy area where you could sit and listen. And the speakers were broadcasting out into the crowd. We were right in front of, you know, one of the vendor walks. So high visibility. The other thing I wanted to do was make sure that, okay, I want to give the podcast hosts time to book way in advance so that we can set it up and make sure that we have just a absolutely cranking schedule. And we did that about 2 weeks before Wodapalooza started. We gave them all the schedule. Hey, here's your time slots. Go get your guests. And they did. We had kettlebells and cocktails with John Woolley from Make What's Great Again and Nikki Brazier. We had Get With The Programming, Chase Ingram, Bill Grundler. We had Tommy Marquez with Talking Elite Fitness. We had
Coffee Pods and Wads, Clydesdale, Britt, I don't know, I forget her podcast.
Claire Bates.
Yeah. Claire, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yep. Conversation with Claire. We had Two-Tone Training. We had Brute Strength. We had some just amazing podcasts. And in turn, they brought the guests. We had Daniel Brandon up there 2 or 3 times, actually. Daniel Brandon was up there a lot. Daniel Brandon did like 2 or 3 different episodes on different podcasts. We had Emma Carey, Matt Torres. I had Matt Frazier, O'Keefe. We had Sam Conway, Tyler Christoffel from Mayhem, Fee Sagafi, James Sprague. We had Craig Ritchie and Jasmine, Team Ritchie. We had Dan Bailey was up there. Just the who's who of people up there. Jedburgh podcast was up there. I can't forget them. Jedburgh, they knocked it out of the park. They brought Jesse Graff, American Ninja Warrior, as their co-host. And they had Julius Thomas, NFL tight end. I mean, just it was a really, really stacked card of people. On top of that, we also had Katrin and Annie did their own podcast up there. They did an open Q&A for a half hour. We had Guido came up and did a seminar. We had Power Monkey. So we had Chris Hinshaw and Dave Durante.
Yes, Dave Durante. Yeah.
That's him. I was like, it's Dave. Yeah, it's Dave Durante. I had another name pop into my head, so I got confused. But like all these different seminars and podcasts and you know, CrossFit celebrities are up there. Not only that, but I said, we need to find a way to announce it to the crowd so that they can actually make this a destination they want to go to. Mm-hmm. So they know when Katrin and Annie are going to be there, when they know when Matt Frazier is going to be there. So we put it on the app. The app had the entire schedule for the whole week for all the podcasts, all the seminars. So people could actually select.
That's awesome.
Reserve their spots, set reminders so that, you know, hey, 15 minutes before, you know, Matt Frazier goes on, they're going to get a reminder on their phone that says, hey, go to the experience stage for the Wexpeel podcast with Matt Frazier and Matt O'Keefe. So you had just all these people coming up to the stage and it became just the place to be. Ben Bergeron did a thing. But what it did with me hosting it is it kind of put me in a weird situation. Whereas, you know, like Ben Bergeron, dude doesn't need me. He doesn't need me at all, but he walks up and he's like, hey man, I think it would be a better idea if you just interviewed me and we did it that way. And I'm like, okay. I mean, it's not my, it's your podcast. I mean, it's not my podcast, but I mean, whatever. So I ended up being the contact person for everything. So I'm running Q&As for the daughters. I'm interviewing Ben Bergeron. Oh, Don Fall, the CEO of CrossFit. How can I forget him? He came on my podcast, which blew my mind as well. But the notoriety of being the manager of the podcast stage for Guadapalooza kind of carried over to a couple other things. Hey, we need you to host the seminar for, you know, Samsung. Okay, what's that? It's a Q&A with Justin Medeiros and Brooke Wells. Well, please twist my arm.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's amazing. Hey, we need you to host the champions panel.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you talk to Dylan, you can ask him. And he may not even notice that I did it. But I asked him at least three times, what exactly is my role in the champions panel? Okay. So you want me to moderate? You want me to moderate the champions panel? Okay. So just to be clear, you're going to have me with a microphone asking all the champions questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So that's me doing that, right? Because I'm like, you don't know, like, thank you for your trust in me, but I'm not like, I'm not the MCs that you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a guy that was asking you to go be an MC on the teen stage to earn my stripes, to work my way into the big leagues for the MC. Mm-hmm. And now you've got me up there with Ben Smith, Jason Kalipa, Camille LeBlanc-Bazinet, Catcher and Annie, Justin and Matt. And I've got pictures of me standing there asking them questions and they're all just staring at me. And I'm like, what is this?
Do you feel like laser beams like aiming at you, like just from their eyes?
I felt like I was going to wake up and it was all a dream. Like, yeah. It was definitely like I'd ask a question on a microphone and I put the microphone down and literally running through my head is like, who decided this was a good idea? Like, you know, those pictures, like one of these things does not belong. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's me. but I did it. It was amazing. It was fun. They're just people. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they're just people. You have to remember that they're just people. They just have done some really cool things. And Catherine and Annie, like, I was talking to them after, and they're like, thank you so much for doing this. Like, you kept it light. You kept it fun. Like, you were engaging. It was a really good time. And I'm like, thank you. That's amazing. Because I love you guys. You guys are awesome. And just everybody was just so welcoming and so nice. The next day, Ben Smith comes up to me and is like, hey, Wex, you know, and starts asking me questions about like on-site stuff. And I'm like, Ben Smith literally just walked up to me and just started like asking me questions and knows me by name. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
So with that, you know, my week for Guadapalooza was something I never thought, like, something I always wanted to happen, but never thought it would. And when you start talking about mindset, you start talking about like the imposter syndrome,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, yeah, that happens to other people, but that doesn't happen to me. Like, that would be really cool for that to happen, but whatever. Nobody's going to, you know, Rich Froning's never going to come on my podcast. Like, how am I going to get through to that guy?
And then you have it. He's on your podcast.
Yeah. Literally, I'm pacing my house for 2 hours before the podcast starts. You know, yeah. waiting for the time to click over for me to open up the Zoom, and I open up the Zoom and there he is sitting in his truck hanging out. He's like, hey, what's up, dude?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What's up, Rich? and just sit and talk to him for 45 minutes to an hour. And just, he could not have been nicer and just so cool. You know, but in 1 week to have Rich Froning, Justin Medeiros, Matt Fraser, all on episodes of the podcast. It's just, it's mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
That would be the case. And then to top it all off, now I have, you know, people calling me and being like, hey, so we got the CEO of this company that wants to possibly come on your show. Would you like to talk to him? I'm like, absolutely. As I'm sitting here with their product in my hand, you know, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. So it's just been, it's been, a really crazy experience this past week of just like just trying to field everything that's been coming from it. And like the Instagram is blowing up and just
nice.
It's been nuts. It's been absolutely nuts. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. That's super cool. Yeah. That's really cool. All right. Well, yeah. We're getting close to the end. I have some rapid fire questions. They're not rapid fire. You could take as long as you want. So
I got you.
Do you have any goals that you want to hit by the end of the year? Like, obviously it's a new year. So like podcasts, like personal, like whatever.
Yeah. So one of the goals that I've set for myself that I'm one for one right now, is I want to read at least 12 books. I want to read at least a book a month.
Yep.
I'm horrible at reading. Every time I start and try to do it, I don't even get through the first book. Mm-hmm. I finished my first book and it just so happened to be First by Rich Froning.
That was a good book, by the way. Yeah.
It's a great book. Great book. And I read a lot of it leading up to, and this was even before he was on the podcast. I was reading a lot of it leading up to that podcast. So I was able to ask him like, hey, you put out this book, 2-time games champ on the front of the book. Obviously you've done a lot more since then. When's the next book? Yep. And so I've actually like pushed that out there a little bit to try and get him to write another book because it needs to be done. So I read that book. A friend of mine, Noah Dean, Dr. Noah Dean, just wrote a book. He's actually one of the MCs from Wadapalooza. And he just wrote a book, literally just started it today. So I'm like maybe like 3 or 4 pages in, mm-hmm. called It's a Process. So I'm not fully into, everything that he's talking about or what it's about. He's just kind of doing some setup stuff right now. But I just started reading that book. It's available on Amazon. So, my plug for him, he's an amazing, amazing, amazing guy. So if you watch Wadapalooza, there's a guy that's always walking around with a cowboy hat on. And what he does is all through the week, he has people sign it. He'll have volunteers sign it. He'll have athletes sign it. He'll have everybody sign it. And then the last day, while they're tabulating all the results for the award show, he throws it out into the crowd or he gives it to somebody. This signed hat with, literally champions and volunteers and everybody. I signed
That's
it
awesome.
This year. So really, really cool. Really, really awesome guy. At the games last year, he's actually one of the reasons I did this whole thing with Wadapalooza is because of him. Because he was the seminar announcer for the games. So if you go into Vendor Village, they have a seminar stage in the mm-hmm. middle, and he was the MC for that the whole time. And I worked with him and just kind of talked to him about MCing and doing that. And he's like, if you don't ask, you're not going to get anything. You've got to just put yourself out there. And that's what I did. So it was cool. Everything came full circle this year at Wadapalooza, and I got to literally thank him in person. So that's the book I'm reading. It's called It's a Process by Noah Dean. And then I've got a couple books on the way that I'm excited about reading that I'm, the Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck is
one. that was a good book. That was a really good book.
I've always wanted to read it, but I I'm horrible at picking up books and actually sitting down and reading, part of having 4 kids. Mm-hmm. But so that's one of my personal goals is to read at least 12 books this year. One per month. Hopefully more. I'm shooting for more, but that's the minimum is that 12. In the gym, it's just trying to just stay healthy. I found out 40 is not a kind year.
Nope.
I'm 42 and I'm like, oh, this is rough. So I'm realizing I need to take more time, be smarter, in the way that I train and not just kind of be so gung-ho. So things like that, just trying to stay healthy. No big goals other than that, really. And then of course, just support my kids the best way that I can and my wife. With everything that happened health-wise, I've got tattoos of clocks and things on my arm for each of my children and the Harry Potter time turner, because I'm also a nerd. But it's a remembrance of, time is not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. time is, you know, time is to be valued, and it's not something that you get back. Yeah. So just with everything that's gone on with my wife, it just being more intentional about spending time with them, more intentional about, you know, what I do with each of my children and with my wife, and making sure that that time is valuable and that it's meaningful. Mm-hmm. So that's really the goals for this year.
All right. Anything with a podcast at all, or?
I've already beat those.
Okay. All right.
I mean, in all honesty, with the podcast, it's always been, I never set big lofty goals. I wanted to get to the point where I was interviewing some big people. So I had to kind of go back. I'm reformulating my goals for this year for the podcast, mm-hmm. because literally week two of the new year, it exceeded anything I ever expected the podcast to do. Mm-hmm. And it's continuing to exceed those things. So yeah, that's kind of a work in progress right now of what I want to do with it. I'd like to record, you know, and do something every week. That would be ideal. That would be the goal. I have some things. I will say this. I have some things that I'm working on with the podcast that, you know, I'm not at liberty to talk about, that I hope will be big. You know, I put some feelers out there for some things with the podcast, but I would like to get my first like legitimate sponsor. I'd like to actually make some money this year. That would be nice.
That would be nice. Yeah. I would like that too. I would very like that too. So, all right. So next question, obviously you were talking about books earlier. So what is your all time favorite book? I know you talked about Harry Potter, is that your all time favorite book?
Fiction wise, it's pretty close. Like fiction wise, that those books are just, they're brilliant. They're amazingly written. There is a Stephen King collection of short stories that I read that were just, they were just brilliant. Mm-hmm. What was the movie that they did with John Cusack? I think it was 1408.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a book with that story in it, with that short story. But it's got a collection of other stories in it. And there's a few of them that just like are haunting, mm-hmm. the way that he just weaves those stories. And, you know, so those are kind of some of my favorite things, but I'm not like a huge Stephen King, like horror movie, you know, fan. But those are kind of the ones that pop out to me. And then just really anything that is, you know, relatable in the moment. You know, I don't have like a favorite, you know, nonfiction book that I'm like, oh, this one changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. So next question, what is in your gym bag?
Oh, in the gym bag right now. And I was just looking at that. There's a whole bunch of crap right now because I just got back from Wadapalooza and I was throwing a whole bunch of stuff in there. My new favorite toy is toe spacers. I have a hashtag challenge going on with them. So the whole reason I've always been interested. My feet are horrible.
Mine too.
I've got flat feet, like super flat feet. My wife is like, you literally have no arch in your foot. But always had foot problems. I actually should probably have a class action lawsuit against a certain brand of shoe that used to sponsor the games. I'll leave it at that. Because of their seventh iteration of a very popular shoe that's out there. I'm pretty sure that's the shoe that just completely wrecked my feet. That being said, I was always interested in toe spacers. And I won a trip on a yacht on the Wednesday before Wadapalooza with Sarah Sigmund's daughter, sponsored by Toe Spacers. And of course the gift on the boat was everybody got Toe Spacers, and we got to meet Sarah Sigmund's daughter, and we got to hang out on the yacht for 4 hours. So I've been trying them for the past 2 or 3 days and posting them to my story with the just most absurd hashtags I can possibly put on it. And every time I do it, Toe Spacers comments and they're like, oh my gosh, like we're crying laughing. So I'm trying to get them to be one of the sponsors, you know, if I can get enough hashtags going and, you know, get enough. So there's toe spacers in my bag, lifters, belt, My anchor wrist wraps, which I don't go anywhere without. It's a local company here in town. Single mom, she does amazing stuff, but they're they're Marvel superhero wrist wraps.
Nice.
Which are awesome. Gotta have thumb tape.
Mm-hmm.
And my grips. I got the Element 26 grips for gymnastics grips.
Okay.
And then Element 26 actually threw in a pair of wristbands as well. So that's the gym bag right now. I think that's about it. And a couple other little things that I probably should clean out.
All right, cool. So this one's going a little deep. So
okay.
Let's just say it's your last day on Earth and all your friends are around you and you know, you're saying your goodbyes. So how do you want people to know you as?
Oh man. Someone who is intentional about their friendships. Somebody who they know is genuine. There's nothing worse than fake friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been burned by them. I've been the friend that, you know, gets, you know, kind of trampled on, you know, in certain situations. And I'm learning more and more to protect myself from that. But the ones that are truly my friends, they're the ones, you know, that not afraid to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter, you know,
yep.
It doesn't matter who they are. I got a, you know, a group of guys that we have a chat group and like, you know, consistently be like, love you guys, you know, and, you know, it's not weird or, you know,
mm-hmm.
or dumb, you know, so just that, you know, if they're truly my friends, they know that I'm genuine. They know that I would do anything for them. And likewise, they would do the same for me.
So. Awesome. Very cool. So where can people reach out to you if they have any questions about like podcasting or, you know, try to get into Wadapalooza or whatnot? Or being a DJ too.
Being a DJ, yeah. Actually, you had Lauren Khalil on and you didn't get this tidbit out of her. She didn't actually go to school for broadcast. She went to school for to be a wedding planner.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about
so,
that.
So her and I had a whole big riff on weddings because I was a wedding DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've done the whole DJ gambit like every bit. But as far as following with the podcast, Wex Appeal Podcast on Instagram is really the best way. I'm on Facebook, but, you know, basically I do Instagram and it copies over to Facebook. So yeah. If you want to get a hold of me, Instagram at Wex Appeal Podcast. That's the place to find me. And then of course the podcast is found really anywhere that podcasts can be found. Google, Apple, Spotify, Anchor, Amazon. I had to send a whole list to Samsung for their promotion thing that they were doing with Brooke and Justin. Cause I'm hopefully going to be able to release that episode on the podcast. So I had to give them a whole list of all the people that they could find me. I'm on YouTube. I'm on TikTok, but very sporadic. I'm trying to get better at doing the YouTube thing. I'm trying to get better at doing TikTok, but you know, right now the focus is Instagram and just building, you know, building the brand that way.
Nice. Nice. Well, thank you very much for, you know, coming on. It was great talking to you, by the way. Like it was great hearing your experiences and how you got into podcasting, coaching and got into CrossFit. So dude, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. This has been, like I said, it's weird because I'm usually on your side of the, your side of the microphone and like asking all the questions and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for doing it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
That's it. Thanks, man.
All right. Cool, man.